Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 40. This week we are studying part 4 of the 5 Come Follow Me lessons in the book of Isaiah. And hopefully by this point, as you've been studying, you've become more comfortable with Isaiah and just realizing how much goodness is in there. So many great things. So let's look at these chapters and find some truths that we can use to improve our mental and emotional health. These chapters kind of have the same theme as the chapters we studied last week in the part 3 of 5. And the theme is, again, the redemption of Israel through the atonement of Jesus Christ. And please remember to apply these truths to yourself, that this overall story of redemption of the house of Israel is your story too. This applies to you. Oftentimes we do feel overwhelmed due to our problems and circumstances, and there's no question that life gets in the way. We're thrown curveballs and other difficulties that sometimes we don't know how to deal with. The Lord knows these things are happening, and they are not a surprise to Him. And so the question is, what is His response to that? When we are here struggling and reaching out for help or floundering and not knowing what to do, what's His response? Well, He's there to help us. If you look at Isaiah chapter 50, let's look at verses 7 through 9. It says, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment, and the moth shall eat them up." I love the concept in here of the strength that is that accompanies when the Lord helps us with our problems. And the person who's talking, he's saying, look, he says, what could possibly happen? I have the Lord with me. What problem can possibly be big enough that I cannot solve with the Lord's help? And that's absolutely true. And I encourage you to think about that in the context of your mental health challenges. What can possibly go wrong in your life that the Lord cannot ultimately help you through? And there's nothing. There is nothing that can possibly go wrong that He can't ultimately redeem you from. Now, of course, there are going to be difficulties that we're going to struggle with, sometimes for a short time, sometimes for a long time, perhaps for our whole lives. But that does not mean that redemption will not ultimately come. And that is cause for hope. If you consider also Isaiah chapter 51, verse 11, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." Isn't that a beautiful promise, especially as it relates to those who struggle chronically with mental health issues? Everlasting joy shall be upon their head. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away. This is the promise of the Lord to those who strive to faithfully follow their covenants. Sorrow will endure for a time, but there is hope on the horizon. And so my invitation to you is, regarding your mental health challenges, to please keep this hope. Mental health tends to get worse when we remove hope from the equation. And adding hope to the equation, it certainly doesn't change the day-to-day so much or eliminate the problems, but it does add an element of someday this will be better. And that light at the end of the tunnel can be very helpful. Now, in Isaiah chapter 53, this chapter specifically references the Savior's atoning sacrifice, and it highlights a portion of His sacrifice that we often overlook. That's found in verse 4. It says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." So that statement, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Now, most of us, as we study the atonement of Jesus Christ, we know that the Savior suffered for our sins. But do we also remember that He suffered for our non-sinful adversities? These are difficulties that we experience throughout life that are not as the result of sin, just as a result of living in a fallen world, or maybe as the result of something someone else has done, but He suffered for those experiences as well. Did you know that he suffered the feelings of your depression? Did you know he suffered the feelings of your anxiety, your guilt and shame, and every other difficult emotion? Did you know that he suffered for your loneliness, your heartbreak, betrayal, trauma, and other challenging experiences? He suffered for all those things. He knows what you are experiencing, regardless of what you experience. Alma teaches this in Alma chapter 7 and in verses 11 and 12. It says, "And he shall go forth," Jesus shall go forth, "suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people. And he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities." Now you notice there's nothing about sin mentioned in that. He says he is going to suffer for your pain and for your afflictions, suffer for your temptations. It's not sinful to be tempted. He's going to suffer the pains and sicknesses of his people and their infirmities. I love this concept. It's often referred to as the enabling portion of the Savior's atonement, or the enabling power of Jesus Christ. He knows exactly what you are going through, and he can be your ultimate confidant through times of struggle. And I invite you to seek to understand this part of the Savior's atonement and see how it applies to your life. I think it can give significant hope and comfort when we look at that. And the leaders of the church have talked about this for many years, about this concept of hope. Elder Holland has said the following: "Many in this audience today have deeply personal hopes, hope for a marriage to improve, or sometimes just hope for a marriage, hope for an addiction to be conquered, hope for a wayward child to come back, hope for physical and emotional pain of 100 kinds to cease. Because the restoration affirmed the foundational truth that God does work in this world, we can hope, we should hope, even when facing the most insurmountable odds." I love that idea, that despite the most difficult situations, we can hope. And one more statement in conclusion here, and this is from Elder Renland, and he's quoting C.S. Lewis, who's one of my favorite writers. And this is what Elder Renland says. "This statement by C.S. Lewis resonated with me. Mortals say of some temporal suffering, no future bliss can make up for it, not knowing that heaven, once attained, will work backwards and turn even that agony into a glory. The blessed will say, we have never lived anywhere except in heaven." I love that concept. He's saying that once we are redeemed, once we make it back to the presence of our Heavenly Father, that the Savior's power will execute in our lives so that we may not even remember the difficult parts of life, and we'll just say, we've always been blessed, we've always been happy. So I encourage you to try to latch on to some of that happiness now. Just a general reminder about the weekly invitations in this podcast. Please don't try to do everything. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't add one more thing to your feeling of overwhelm or saying that you failed. I don't want to do that at all. Just prayerfully consider which of these things you should work on. So here's this week's invitation. It's pretty simple. Just want you to think of a mental health issue that either you or a loved one is going through. Then I want you to prayerfully study these two chapters, Isaiah chapter 53 and Alma chapter 7. Thinking about that mental health issue, that circumstance, prayerfully study those two chapters, Isaiah 53 and Alma 7. And then I just want you to write down any thoughts and inspiration or revelation that come to your mind as you study those chapters. I do have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement this week's and former week's invitations. To find out how to get these, please sign up for my email newsletter. You can find that link in the show notes. And also, if you like this podcast, I'd invite you to subscribe to it so you can get new episodes every week and to access them easily. And please share it with someone if you find it helpful. I also have a free anxiety management mini course that I've developed. Love to get you a copy of that. If you go to the show notes, you can find the link for that as well. Thanks for listening. And until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.